Okay, so you have a website, and managing that website is just one of your responsibilities, right? So website security is not another job you need to worry about. Enter Kinsta. Founded in 2013, Kinsta is a hosting service dedicated to delivering exceptional speed, security, and reliability to businesses that depend on WordPress websites. Kinsta provides enterprise-grade security to protect customers' sites and data. In fact, Kinsta is one of the very few hosting companies dedicated to WordPress with certifications that guarantee the highest level of security for a website. Kinsta offers other benefits too, like faster speed, up to 200% faster. Kinsta has an intuitive custom dashboard called MyKinsta that makes managing a site or multiple sites a breeze. Plus, Kinsta gives you unmatched human-only customer support, while many other hosting services stick you with an automated, GPT-based support chat. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
On radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial portfolio manager, Luke Guerrero.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. I'm Luke Guerrero, and I'll be your host over this next hour. Today is Friday, February 7th, 2025. And as we round out the last week of February, it has certainly been an exciting and volatile week. We'll talk about all the moves in the markets and why they happened, as we always do. But at the top of the show, I want to remind you that at KPP Financial, we help our clients. We help to empower our clients to reach their financial goals. And there are those of you who are not our clients that we hope we bring the same philosophy each and every day to this show to help make you a better and more informed investor. But as always, this isn't a solo venture. This isn't a singular journey for just myself or Justin. It is predicated upon and requires that you take an active role. Because the most important part, and in my opinion, the most fun part about this show is answering your finance and investment questions. So I'm very excited over this next hour, hopefully to hear from some of you live. Now, before I run down the market performance today, talk about the week, and go over the show topics we have for you, let's tackle this caller question now.
Hey, I really enjoy your show. I've learned a lot, and I like the way you review things. So my question is about Wolfspeed. The ticker is WOLF. I own some of the stock. There's a lot going on. They're expecting to get like $750 million under the CHIPS Act. They've just built a new plant. They have a lot of debt. There's a lot of things kind of hanging in the air. Thank you very much.
So Wolfspeed, ticker WOLF, is a semiconductor company that focuses on the development and production of these semiconductors, specifically really for electric vehicles, fast charging, 5G, and renewable energy technology. And over the past year, it's been a pretty rough time, down 79.92%, down 9.8% today alone. Now, from the longer term trend, I can tell you that things don't look great. They haven't made money. They've never made money. They aren't currently making money. And their margins are becoming more and more negative. In June of 2019, their net margin was negative 5.4%. That was 71.1% in 2024, projected to be 129.2% this upcoming year. And in that time, sales have fallen as well, from $1 billion down to $772 billion. So why is the stock down? Well, I just told you a lot of the reasons why. Their financial performance is not great. They lost sales, right? 13.4% year-over-year decline in revenue from 2023 to 2024. They're also about $6.5 billion in debt. And they're issuing shares. And so with 33% short interest out there, there's not a lot to like here. Now, we know why it's been down over the past year. Why is it down 9.81% today? Probably because the Trump administration said they're going to take a step back from investing in a charging network, something that their plant that they spent a lot of money building in North Carolina was supposed to set them up for success as charging networks expanded. And so given policy changes, given that this is a company in a lot of debt who is not making money, and the fact that they're just moving more and more negative in terms of profitability, listen to the market. 33.14% short interest. Typically, I say, gonna have to pass. In this case, I'm gonna say should probably sell. Thanks for the call. Now, we got a lot of ground to cover in the next 45 minutes or so. Here's a little bit of what we have planned. My main focus point concerns this topic. What to consider before you invest in alternatives. For diversification and the potential of higher returns, a new economic paradigm points to the advantages of adding alternatives into your portfolio. We'll also touch on two stories that we did not have time to tackle yesterday, including one on the stagnant European economy and one on the U.S. Postal Service's U-turn earlier in the week. And should we have time at the end of the show, we'll talk about gold, which has had a record month after record month after record year and just keeps on chugging along. So is the shiny metal still set to be positive in 2025? We also have some voice bank questions ready to play, including one on AGX, which is Argan Inc., and one on XLU, which is the Utilities Select Sector Spider ETF. As always, we also will answer some of your questions that came into the comment section of our InvestTalk YouTube channel. And most importantly, I welcome your finance and investment questions now. We're going to do a short break. On the other side, we'll touch briefly on today's market activity. Play more of your questions here on InvestTalk. My phone lines are open and ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is made better when listeners add their voices.
My name is Robert, and I'm from Florida. Great show. I learned so much from just listening to you.
Hi, this is Susan from New Jersey. I'm calling about AXOA.
How much of the information that came out today on the whole AI play with DeepSeek and all that, how much of that information can you really trust?
And Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are always ready to provide unbiased answers.
I am very much a person that does not trust Chinese data.
Net income is growing and margins are staying pretty steady.
Now let's go take a live call. Paul from Palm Desert.
Let's go to George from San Mateo, who has a question about index funds.
Tell your friends, live a little, live a little. Call InvestTalk weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time.
Is that a good strategy or should I be looking at other things?
888-99-CHART. InvestTalk. Your questions are free. The answers are unbiased. Luke Guerrero is here now. 888-99-CHART.
Let's dive into the market today. U.S. stocks were pretty broadly negative on the day. The Dow down almost a percentage point, down 99 basis points. S&P 500 down 95 basis points. NASDAQ down 1.36%. And Russell 2000 small caps down 1.19%. The weakness across the board actually pushed the major averages all lower for the week. One of the big drags, big tech, Amazon, Tesla, and Google, notable underperformers on the day. Outside of big tech, beauty, cosmetics, athletic apparel, pet products, energy, all underperforming on the day. Outperformers included industrial metals, hospitals, video games, and casinos. Treasuries looked a little bit weaker after some flattening of the curve. The dollar index up 40 basis points. Gold also finishing up 40 basis points. Crude oil settling up 60 basis points, though important to note, it is still lower for the third straight week. Rate relief reversal, I would say, was the pretty big overhang on risk sentiment today. There was hotter average hourly earnings and inflation expectations, which we'll talk a little bit about in a second. Tariffs back in the headlines, with Trump to soon issue reciprocal tariffs in line with his longstanding promise. The EU, however, might be looking to spare themselves some of the wrath by cutting tariffs on U.S. autos. Earnings, once again, a pretty mixed bag. I would say that one of the things that really drove markets as well was relatively hawkish comments from Fed officials. Governor Kugler said that the prudent step is to hold the federal funds rate for some time, given a hot labor market and economic uncertainty. Goolsbee said the Fed may be on hold with interest rates, while Logan expressed skepticism that more rate cuts are even necessary. On the macro front, the big release today, the January non-farm payrolls report. Remember, we were looking for 170,000. That was the consensus. Came in at 143. Though important to note, the previous 2 months were revised upward by about 100,000. On the unemployment front, the unemployment rate ticked down to 4% from 4.1%, while average hourly earnings stepped up to 50 basis points month over month from 30 basis points. Year-ahead inflation expectations up 1 percentage point to 4.3. That's the highest level since November of 23. But the 5- and 10-year expectation up 10 basis points to 3.3. That's the highest level since June of 2008. Let's keep things moving and answer a question that came in earlier to InvestTalk. Oh, just kidding. We are not going to go to a question that came in earlier because we have a question that's coming in right now. Looks like we got, is that Frank in New York? You have a question about Skyworks? France. Yes, sorry, Skyworks. France. There's a typo in my notes here. So it is France is your name.
No problem. Yes, no problem. So I own Skyworks Solutions. I've held it since 2022 when there was a big downturn because of inflation. Mm-hmm. So I've been reassessing my position. I'm actually thinking of selling it off completely. I'm just wondering if this is an overreaction. But I noticed that the growth over the next 2 years has diminished significantly. The major risk of losing revenue to another company for Apple was realized. Profitability metrics are down, and they started increasing share count a bit. So these are a lot of things that I'm realizing that I should probably sell the company. I'm just wondering what your opinion is on it.
Yeah, so let's take a look at Skyworks Solutions. They develop, manufacture semiconductor products and solutions for aerospace, automotive sector, broadband, cellular infrastructure, a whole suite of industries. Now, full disclosure, we did own Skyworks for clients for a little bit. We sold it, I think, around 105 level. And they reported earnings, and it was pretty disappointing. The market had a really bad downward reaction. It was down like 27% at one point, intra-market. And so that was a pretty bad signal that not only were earnings poor, but forward-looking guidance was also poor. Now, it's a $10 billion market cap company. It doesn't have a lot of debt, so the balance sheet isn't really their issue. But profitability has been slipping really since the pandemic. They hit a peak of profitability in 2021, where their net margin was around 29%. And it's slowly and steadily been falling down, 14% in September, as of September of last year. That's their fiscal year end. Projected to be about 19% this year, though still not great. And so I think the thing that's really dragging them down is some diminishing growth and really weak outlook on their mobile revenue, right? They also have excess inventory that they haven't been able to sell. And so there's been slower turnover as electric vehicle adoption broadly has been a lot slower. And so given that we sold it for our clients, given that the outlook isn't good, I just think there are better opportunities out there. You're seeing slipping cash flow profitability, and the market still has about 9% short interest out there. So I think there are better opportunities. I think it's time for you to move on. Thanks for the call. Now, I hope you've been telling your friends and family members that we here at InvestTalk a little bit ago decided, you know what? We think that some people are going to want to look at mine and Justin's ugly faces, and in turn, we'll also allow them to look at some of the charts that we use. And so while you're over there, if you have a question, you can certainly leave it in the comment section, and we'll get to that as soon as we possibly can. And this question came in earlier from our friend Carter Erickson, and it's on ticker ACT. It says, what are your thoughts on ACT? Well, ACT is Enact Holdings. It is a private mortgage insurance company in the U.S. They offer credit protection to mortgage lenders and investors, and they also facilitate homeownership by enabling borrowers to secure loans with lower down payments. And so as you'd expect, the company probably was doing okay in terms of revenue growth when you had, or rather interest income growth, when you had a situation where buyers have historically high prices in front of them and they're trying to buy homes that maybe they can't necessarily afford as well. And so that didn't really bear out in the most recent fiscal or the most recent earnings report. Revenue was down below expectations by about $8 million. There was a miss there. And so as a on its balance sheet, it looks perfectly fine. They have $5.2 billion market cap company with $743 million in debt. Their profitability is pretty flat. Their cash flow is improving. They've been buying back shares. They also pay a pretty solid dividend, 2.7% on an annualized basis. And even with a little bit of a miss, it seemed to me that given the favorable housing market trends, and more importantly, a favorable regulatory environment, people within an administration that are against financial regulation and against the CFPB and other things that would weigh down, that they're operating in an environment that is incredibly favorable. And so taking a look at their valuation, it's only about 7.9 times forward-looking earnings. Relatively in line with where it's been over the past 5 years. I don't think it's expensive. I don't think it's inexpensive. I'm honestly pretty neutral on this thing. It's trading at about $33.91 right now as of the close today. It's about 28% over the past 52 weeks. I think here you have a situation where the macro environment's not really jiving with what the company said in their earnings. So I would expect it to be flat for a little bit. It looks like from a momentum perspective, it is pretty flat. I would hang on for now. Don't think now's the time. Thanks for watching. We're moving to a new break, and still to come, my main focus point, more answers to your questions. And of course, you can call me now at 888-99-CHART.
The weekend is here, or almost here, but you've got finance and investment questions, so step up and call in. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Looks like we got another call from Dave, who's in Ohio. You have a question about ADM. You own it, or are you looking to buy it?
I own it, and I was looking at maybe adding to it and get your take on it, and if it could support that dividend that it's paying out. It's at a 52-week low.
Yeah, of course.
And some really bad earnings.
Okay, let's take a look. Well, ADM is Archer Daniels Midland Company. It is a food processing and commodities trading firm. It's pretty old. It was founded in the 1900s. And they have a bunch of plants, about 270 plants across the globe, and 420 crop procurement facilities. It's a pretty large footprint and a pretty diverse footprint. The revenue is split evenly, I would say, between the United States and elsewhere. 41% of the revenue from the U.S., 21% from Switzerland, 8% from the Cayman Islands, and 29% in this other category. In terms of their business, the bulk of it is from ag services and oil seeds, and a little bit of it is from nutrition, about 8%. That's important because we'll talk about that in a sec. And so recently, as you mentioned, they've had some less than stellar earnings reports. They had the weakest adjusted earnings in 6 years and a pretty solid decline from their main segment, that oil seed business segment. Sorry about that. Now, one thing that I think is an issue for this company and maybe the reason why it's down 13% on the past 52 weeks, why its performance in 2024 underperformed the S&P 500 by 53% and the industry by 17%, it's because they have a lot of litigation risk out there. They're currently being investigated for securities fraud and inflating financial results related to their nutritional division. Again, only about 8% of their revenue, but still, that's a solid 8%. And so what happens with the new SEC leadership in that investigation? I'm not sure. But they're also being sued for safety concerns across their plants related to several incidents over the past couple years. And so overall, not only are you combining a situation where you have declining profitability, they reached a peak in about 2022, and it's slid and is not a word. It has slid since then. But you also have revenue that's been pretty flat to down from $101 billion in revenue in 2022 to $80 billion in 2025. And so it makes sense that this is trading below its five-year average in terms of price to earnings. Its price to sales is only trading at 0.3. But your question was, is the dividend safe? So the dividend is probably in a decent position, right? Their payout ratio is only 54. That's pretty low. They don't have that much debt to service, only $10 billion on a $21 billion market cap company. And they have been buying back shares. But I think the bottom line is, even though the dividend is safe, growth has fallen. They have a lot of risk out there in terms of litigation. And profitability just doesn't look too good. And so this seems to me like a classic opportunity cost situation. Are there better opportunities out there that don't have a lot of macro overhang and a lot of litigation overhang? I think probably, for context here, right? It is a consensus hold rating amongst all these brokers, about 11 brokers. It's a consensus hold rating. I think either better opportunities out there. I certainly wouldn't be adding more right now. Thanks for the call. Heading back to our YouTube question bank. This question came in yesterday from BeerNut1379, and it's about a company that has been getting a lot of press in the past couple years, I would say, and maybe more relevant now more than ever in this next administration, and that is Palantir Technologies. And so taking a look at Palantir, this question saying, I've been listening to the podcast for 4 years or so. Rest in peace to Steve. Thank you. Can I ask for your current thoughts on Palantir? It's had a big run recently. Will it continue? Looking forward to listening on the show. All right, let's take a look at Palantir. So Palantir Technologies is a software company. They specialize in data integration and analytics. And I think they're named after the thing from Lord of the Rings, if there are any Lord of the Rings fans out there. But that's besides the point, just a fun fact there. And so taking a look at this company, right, their sole job essentially is analyzing large data sets to inform decision-making processes. And in the past year, they're up 369%. The past 3 months, they're up 98%. Year to date, they're up 46%. So why is that? Well, their revenue has grown at 31% on an annualized basis. Their net margins finally turned positive in 2023 and have since expanded, made about 9.4% net margin in 2023, about 16.1% net margin the next year, projected to be about 37.5% next year. And they had some decently strong financial results, as well as some major contract extensions, including with the United States Army. They also were included in 2024 in September in the S&P 500 that boosted their market presence as well. But with these gains, you have a situation where it's incredibly expensive. This thing is trading at 202.8 times forward-looking earnings, 95 times sales, 56 times book value. And so why is it trading so high? Well, one of the people involved in it is Peter Thiel, who certainly has a lot of influence with the current administration. Interestingly enough, they did have a lot of revenue growth, but the overwhelming majority of that was growth from interest, not really from operations. And so with all that in mind, I think that this, again, it could continue to go higher. Stocks could always continue to go higher. But you need to understand the risks with investing with them. And buying something this expensive carries a lot of outsized risks. And so for me, too rich for my blood. Palantir, gonna have to pass. On the next Invest Talk, we will look into this topic, financial literacy, why teens need money skills. Individuals are empowered to make smart money decisions when they learn about budgeting, investing, and strategic financial planning. That's Monday, but for now, I'm Luke Guerrero, and I'm ready to take your calls now at 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk, now with more than 60 million downloads. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are ready to answer your finance and investment questions 24/7, 888-99.
Have you ever noticed that you can tell a lot about a person just by the kind of suit they wear? It's true. The best way to send the right message is with the perfect suit from Indochino. My experience has taught me that Indochino clothing has the look, feel, and fit I appreciate and have always wanted. Whether you are dressing for a special occasion or for office wear, Indochino offers custom suits at unbeatable prices. And if you're planning your big day, Make it even more special with custom groom and groomsmen looks from Indochino. Customize every detail to your measurements and your personal taste, including the fabric, lapel shape, buttons, and more, all at a fraction of what other companies charge. You can even choose to visit a showroom and work one-on-one with an expert style guide to get precisely measured. Create your next headlining look with a custom suit from Indochino. Visit Indochino.com and use code INVEST to get 20% off any purchase of $4.99 or more. That's 20% off at Indochino.com. Promo code INVEST.
Chart.
Sometimes it takes us a little bit to get to our main focus point because you guys call in and we love answering your questions. But we're going to talk a little bit about alternative investments now and the things you need to consider before you start investing. Now, the investment landscape in 2025 is shaped by a lot of trends, economic trends from recent years, including inflation, persistent inflation, higher interest rates, and the need for strategic portfolio diversification. And so while cash remains on the sidelines, many advisors believe that public equity markets are overvalued, and fixed income has been volatile as rates have been directionless at times. And what this does is it creates an environment where, well, investors are seeking other asset classes. And sometimes it's gold. Sometimes it's alternative investments. And so alternative investments, especially in this environment, can play a role in the overall portfolio construction process. But what do you need to consider? Well, first you need to consider that there are expanding market opportunities, right? That's what you're trying to do here, getting uncorrelated assets together in one portfolio. Private markets provide access to a significantly larger pool of companies. How much more? 23 times more than public markets. This includes private equity, private credit, real estate infrastructure, farmland, and that offers diversification beyond what traditional asset classes offer. There are times at which equities and bonds, stocks and bonds, have similar correlations. Another thing you need to consider, though, is it might not be right for everybody. And that's because there's a long-term investment horizon. To fully capitalize on the benefits of alts, investors should plan to hold allocations for at least 5 years, maybe even longer. And that's because short-term fluctuations aren't really seen within private markets, right? They can provide entry opportunities when people are fire selling. But if you're trying to sell after short-term holding, you're missing out on the return generation that is requiring that patience. Another thing I would say is the most important thing is liquidity planning. Alternatives often have far lower liquidity than public equities or bonds. And so because of that, it may not be right for everybody. Investors should assess their liquidity needs to determine an appropriate allocation to really illiquid or semi-liquid investments without disrupting their financial goals. So what are some things you can invest in? Well, private real estate could be beneficial. With new construction constrained by high interest rates, real estate supply remains pretty tight. And so this creates demand opportunities in sectors such as industrial properties, medical office spaces, and senior living facilities. Maybe you want to get into private credit. That's been all the rage recently. Middle market lending, particularly to private equity-backed companies, continues to present pretty attractive yield opportunities. Or maybe even farmland investments. Farmland serves as a strong diversifier with steady demand for agricultural products and long-term income growth driven by increased productivity and advancements in technology. Now, financial advisors who focus on these customized portfolio designs may start to more and more incorporate alternative investments into their strategies. The rise of personalized investing, particularly for younger generations, requires a more sophisticated approach that goes beyond the traditional 60-40 asset allocations of the past. Private market investments exhibit a greater dispersion of return compared to public assets, so that's something that is important to keep in mind. And because of this, it means that one must emphasize the importance of due diligence and expertise when selecting these opportunities. So as the economy shifts into a new paradigm of higher for longer interest rates, persistent inflation, integrating these alternatives could be essential for achieving stable, long-term, diversified returns. Now it is Friday, my favorite day of the week, and we generally make time to fit in a quick rundown of key benchmark numbers. So let me hit you with that list right now. The 2-year Treasury yield is at 4.285% today. For perspective, last week it was at 4.205% 28 weeks back. The number was 3.882, and 66 weeks ago it was 5.05. The 10-year Treasury yield was 4.491% today. Last week it was 4.521%. 24 weeks ago it was 3.921%, and 66 weeks back it was 4.63%. Gold was priced at $2,859 per ounce today. Last week that was $2,809. 65 weeks ago it was $1,935. Silver today was at $31.84 per ounce. Last week that number was $31.46, and 52 weeks ago it was $22.80. Oil was selling for $71.01 per barrel today, a $1.81 decrease compared to last week. 20 weeks back, that number was $67.79, and 62 weeks ago, that was $74.30. The national average for a gallon of regular gasoline is $3.14, a 3-cent increase compared with last week. 88 weeks ago, that number was $3.56, and 136 weeks ago, that was $4.25. In California, it was averaging $4.54 per gallon, a 9-cent increase over last week. 66 weeks back, that was $5.32. For comparison, in Florida, gas was averaging $3.20 per gallon today. That is $1.34 less per gallon than gas in California. Let's pivot back to the InvestTalk voice bank for a question that came in earlier.
Hi, Justin and Luke. I'm calling today about Argan Incorporated, ticker symbol AGX. It's been on my watch list for a little now, and it has ran up a lot over the past year, but it looks like it pulled back to some support. I know it's still below some of the moving averages, but if you could take a look at the fundamentals for me, let me know if you think it's too pricey or just thinking to pick up some shares. Looks like it's in a good industry, help with energy and the AI revolution. Let me know your thoughts. Thank you very much. Bye.
Let's take a look at Argan Inc. That is ticker AGX. Just pulling something up on my screen right here. So Argan is a engineering and procurement and construction company that specializes in designing and building energy sector products, including natural gas-fired power plants and renewable energy facilities. Over the past year, it has had a banger of a year, up 259.75%, past 52 weeks, up 17.92% year to date. And all that with only 3.5% growth in revenue on an annualized basis going back 5 years. But their fiscal year, which technically has already ended, it ended in January 2025, you're supposed to have seen growth from $573 million in revenue to $839 million. That is significant growth. And margins are supposed to have significantly expanded as well, from 5.6% to 8.4%. Now, they have very little debt, only about $3 million in debt on a $2.2 billion market cap company. Cash flow was heading downward until 2022, but started to go back upwards again and has been improving. We already mentioned profitability was improving. And they really don't issue any shares at all. They've actually bought back shares since 2020. Now, the market is saying this is a little bit expensive. It's got about 6.06% short interest out there. But the reason why it's run up, as was mentioned, is, well, it has procured some contracts that have been very beneficial to create massive gas-fired power plants in Texas. This one in particular is supposed to power almost 1 million homes. Another is because of the need and demand for targeted energy for data storage infrastructure, and the role that this company could play in that demand. And so, you know, it's also important to note that from a technical perspective, it did peak out at around about 182 and then drop to about 140. Looks like it's trying to find some support after being on a pretty solid uptrend for quite some time. But from a relative valuation perspective, it looks a little expensive. It's trading near its highs of the past 5 years. 6.7 times book value, price to book value. 15 times cash flow, 2.8 times sales, 30 times forward-looking price to earnings. And so the question remains of what has changed within the AI space, with what has changed potentially with demand for energy. Is it worth still 30 times forward-looking earnings? I think it's trading in such a way that it is trying to consolidate somewhere. Certainly it's in the price discovery phase as well. It has run up a lot, over 250% in the past year, another 18% year to date, and that's even with it falling down from its high. And so with that in mind, I think I would keep this on my watch list for now. It could dip back to the 130 level. I would probably start to think about picking it up there. Thanks for the call. I want to briefly mention the newest KPP Premium newsletter, which will be distributed tomorrow. This week in the KPP Insight section, we discussed how the U.S. budget process works. Certainly an important topic today. In the Stock Ideas section, we mentioned a cybersecurity company and a semiconductor wafer fabrication equipment manufacturer that is an incredibly specific type of company. And in the portfolio management section, we touched on investing in artificial intelligence. If you're interested in learning more, visit us at investtalk.com. Hit subscribe. If you do, the newsletter will come to your inbox Saturday afternoon. You know what? We got plenty of time before the next break, so let's fit in a listener question now.
Would you comment on XLU, a utilities fund? I'm looking for a conservative stock or ETF that I could hold during retirement that might generate some income. I'll be listening for your answer on the show. Thanks.
So XLU is the utilities select sector spider fund. And so what it does is it invests in utility companies that are included in the S&P 500. In terms of its market cap exposure, it's about in line with its benchmark, about 98% large caps, 1.4% mid caps. And frankly, there are not a lot of small cap utilities. Most of its revenue, if not all of it, comes from the United States, 99.11% to be specific. And it's pretty evenly split for the most part amongst its 33 holdings, though NextEra is about 11%, but it's just going to be a market cap weighted basis of those utility companies that are in the S&P 500. It's a passive index. And so it's going to charge you about 9 basis points as an expense ratio. But generally speaking, utilities, the reason why people invest in utilities is for that income. You don't typically see a lot of growth in utilities. Now for our clients and some of our strategies, we bought a couple utilities in the past year or so that have done particularly well because they're natural gas utilities that have had a play into AI. But generally, historically, people think of utilities as bond proxies. And so if you are trying to potentially have a little bit of gains, capital gains, right? Their 1 year return is 33%. If you're trying to have some gains and capital appreciation while also understanding there are some downside risks versus holding bonds, but primarily seeking income, utilities is a good sector to go after. And given how inexpensive XLU is and how broadly diversified it is, XLU is a good way to go. Looks like we have another question from our InvestTalk listener bank, this one on ticker BBB. Sometimes typing is hard for me. And BBB is BBB Foods. And the question is very informative. Enjoy listening to your guys' thoughts and then doing my own digging, which is exactly what you should do. You should never take what we're saying as gospel. We are merely one source of information. You should always be doing your own research and listening to many different sources. But Daniel wants to know, what are your thoughts on BBB Foods? And so BBB Foods is a grocery company. It offers a grocery hard discount model where products offered are generally value for money. It is a $3.9 billion market cap company. It's relatively new. It IPO'd in February of last year. And much as you see over the past year, or rather, in the past 3 months, it's down 15.6%, down 2.83% year to date. Its revenue has grown pretty solidly over the past 4 years, from $839 million in 2020 to $3.5 billion is where it's projected to be this year. They have earnings pretty soon, I guess in April, but they're projected to have grown to $2.7 billion this year. In terms of margin, they have not yet had a full year of making money. They have had quarters where they have made money. In the most recent quarter, they did turn profitable. But it's trading at 76 times forward-looking earnings. It's trading at 1x sales. And volume seems pretty low, with the exception of, well, recently. And so what you have here is a company that is about to hit the one-year mark. And generally, I think that companies that are newer companies on the open markets, companies that have only been trading for about a year, and what you see empirically is that these companies tend to underperform. And that is the case here, right? This company has not been doing well over the past 3 months, and it did underperform the market. It's underperforming the S&P by about 5.3% right now, and it's also incredibly expensive. And so given that it hasn't made a lot of money yet, given that its free cash flow is actually projected to fall and has been growing pretty slowly, and how expensive it is, I think this company is a little too new in terms of how it's been trading. I think that growth is a little slow, and it looks just a little too expensive. That's BBB, BBB Foods, Inc. This is Invest Talk. I'm Luke Guerrero. We have one goal here: to help you achieve your financial freedom. Our work continues after our final break of the week, so get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. How they get there and when they get there, that depends on many factors. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin, Luke, Danny from California, big fan of the show. I'm interested in a company called Fluence Energy, ticker FLNC. They're involved in energy storage, mostly for industrial and commercial applications. I wanted to know if you guys thought that was a good business to get into, and just hear your analysis on the stock overall. I'll listen to your answer on the show. Thank you so much, and have a good day.
Thanks for listening, Danny. Let's dig into your question on Fluence Energy, that is FLNC. Actually, before I do, I want to correct the last ticker for BBB Foods is actually TBBB, if you're interested. But anyway, FLNC, Fluence Energy, is a company that specializes in energy storage, as well as digital applications for renewables and storage. And so as you'd expect, as the demand for energy has grown significantly, I actually think this is a great line of business to be in. Right? I've always said the thing that is holding us back from really changing our grid towards new renewables is the fact that we cannot really that efficiently store energy. And so this company aims to create better ways to do that. Now, it's a $1.6 billion market cap company with only about $39 million in debt. They do issue a lot of shares. Their shares outstanding have doubled. Now, most of that issuance doubled since 2022, but most of that issuance did happen that year. There's a lot of short interest out there, 21.21%. Short interest out there. That is a lot of short interest telling you that the market thinks the thing is still too expensive. Their cash flow is improving. Their profitability is improving as well. They actually made money for the first time in 2023. So congrats to them. Their net margin was 8.8%. So very, very small. They are barely making money. But their sales have grown significantly from $92 million to $2.699 billion. In 4 years, 5 years, sorry. That's a 96.5% growth on an annualized basis. Year to date, they're down 21%. Over the past 3 months, they're down 37%. Over the past 52 weeks, they are down 38%. And so even though they're becoming profitable, even though their cash flow is improving, even though they got a major contract award of this in this year for 6 sites in Ukraine to shore up their energy grid, even though they had a 22% increase in revenue year over year, they still are having a lot of issues. And so I do like the business, or rather the line of business. I do like that they don't have much debt. If they continue to not issue more shares, I would like that as well. But technically, it looks very poor. Right? It's broken down beyond 14, which was its most recent major support. And it's heading downward. And it could continue to head downward. It's trading at 16.8 times forward-looking earnings, trading at less than 1x sales, trading at 3.5 times book value. So it doesn't seem expensive, but the market is still telling you they think it is. And so I do like the line of business. I really do. But right now, the momentum of this name is telling you is not a good time to buy. Even though they've had great growth, even though they're finally profitable, I would still keep it on my watch list because I think data storage is one of the most important lines of business, the most important subsectors over the next decade. And the reason why is because it's not just applicable to electric vehicles. It's not just applicable to artificial intelligence. It won't just solve the problems of what's wrong with our electrical grid, but there's a security aspect as well. And so over the next decade, I expect a lot more government contracts, a lot more private investment, and perhaps Fluence Energy stands to gain. Thanks for watching. I'm Luke Guerrero, and this completes another InvestTalk program. We thank you for listening and encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. Get yours anytime at iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And while you're over there, please be sure to leave us a rate and review. Remember, we can help you better understand your portfolio dynamics and calculate your investor risk number. Just go to investtalk.com and click the portfolio review button. This is a free and confidential service. Additionally, if you haven't yet, come check us out and we can help you optimize the potential of your 401k and build you a full wealth financial plan. It all starts at investtalk.com. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Enjoy your weekend.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.